right now to Jonah chapter 4. Jonah chapter 4, verses 1 through 11. This is our last sermon in our series we've been looking at for quite a while now, titled Our Compassionate God. Now, I asked Nate to sing that song. By the way, Nate wrote that song, and I think he did a really great job. I asked Nate to sing that song. Yeah, go ahead and give him a round of applause. I asked Nate to sing that song, Jonah, because I believe it does a great job capturing Jonah's struggle with God's will, but how it also points forward to the hope that we have for new life that is found in Christ. You know, the prophet Jonah is really a very ironic character. He's like a lot of us. He knows the truth about God. He knows that God is merciful. He knows that God is compassionate, but he struggles to put that belief into practice. He struggles with showing others the compassion that God has shown him. You know, when Jonah was doing all of these things and when the book of Jonah was being written, he had absolutely no idea that this story was going to be passed down for generations to come. And I find it very, very ironic that the story of this very stubborn prophet who was unwilling to share the compassion of God with others, now that same story is used to challenge us to show the compassion of Christ to everyone that we meet. Now, everything that has happened so far in the book of Jonah has led up to chapter 4. You know how in a great musical, in a great piece of music, there's always that crescendo. Everything is building up into a very important moment. This is the important moment in Jonah. This is the crescendo. This is where everything has been leading up to. God and his prophet are about to have a conversation. And the conversation that they have, God very directly confronts the hard-heartedness of this prophet. And in that conversation, he also confronts any hard-heartedness that we might have when it comes to being unwilling to show the compassion of Christ to others. So before we look at Jonah chapter 4, let's pray and let's ask God to guide us into his word. Father, we just thank you so much for the love that you give us. We thank you so much for your scriptures that teach us and guide us and that point us straight to you. We thank you so much that you are compassionate. We thank you so much that you are merciful, that you are gracious, that you show us about yourself. But Father, we fully admit that there are many times we are not compassionate. There are many times we are not gracious. There are many times we are not faithful. And so, Father, I just pray that your scriptures would work in our lives, that we would be challenged, that we would be made new, that we would seek today to be more compassionate, more Christ-like than we were yesterday. Thank you so much, Father, for giving us your grace. Thank you for the fact that when we fall, you are still with us, you still call us, and I pray that your scripture would point us to that truth today. Holy Spirit, guide us into your word. We pray this in Christ's name, and all God's people said, amen. Now, we saw last week in Jonah chapter 3 that Jonah had a very successful ministry. God had called Jonah. God had told him to go to the great city of Nineveh to preach against it, to tell them his word. And you know, at first he was disobedient. He didn't want to do that. But finally, in chapter 3, Jonah begins to get his act together, and he heads to the city of Nineveh, and he preaches. In fact, in the Hebrew, his preaching is 5 words. It's a very simple message. Hey, Nineveh is about to be overthrown. Nineveh is about to be transformed. Repent and believe in God's word. And the entire city repents. The entire community, everybody turns to God. Everybody fasts. Everybody repents of sin. Everybody changes their wicked ways. It's a successful ministry campaign. Back when I was in college, I used to travel around and do a lot of preaching, and I would preach at youth revivals, and I would fill in at churches, and man, there were times I would go to these youth revivals and these big speaking events, and man, I would preach my heart out, and I would share the gospel, and I would talk about the life-changing transformation that Christ can bring in your life, and then I would offer a time for people to respond, and I'd have like one person come forward, and I'd go, what in the world is that all about? And then I might have a friend get up and talk, and the friend would get up and talk, and he would speak for like 5 minutes and have like 55,000 teenagers come down to the front and give their life to Christ. And I was like, what is the deal? What is so different? You know, Jonah had a successful ministry. He preaches for just a few minutes and an entire town repents and turns to Christ. If I was Jonah, if that had happened to me, I would be jumping up and down. I would be excited. I could not believe what God had done in me and God did through me. But in chapter 4, what we find is this. Jonah is mad. He's not just mad. He is completely beside himself that he has had such a successful ministry. It's just ironic. It doesn't make any sense. God has used him to do great things, and instead, Jonah is angry at God's compassion. Let's look at that in verses 1 through 4 and see Jonah's anger towards God's compassion. The Bible says, but to Jonah, this seemed very wrong. In fact, you could translate that Hebrew word to Jonah, this was evil. He actually thought that God had done evil by showing compassion to the city of Nineveh. He says it was very wrong, and he became angry. He prayed to the Lord, isn't this what I said, Lord, when I was still at home? This is what I tried to forestall by fleeing to Tarshish. I knew that you are a gracious and compassionate God, slow to anger and abounding in love, a God who relents from sending calamity. Now, Lord, take away my life, for it is better for me to die than to live. Verse 4, but the Lord replied, is it right for you to be angry? Up until this point in Jonah, we have not known why he did not want to go to Nineveh and preach. It hasn't been told us. He ran from God in the beginning. He tried to get as far away from God's plan as humanly possible, but we really didn't know why Jonah ran from God. Here we have the answer. Jonah knew that God was gracious and compassionate. He had read Exodus chapter 34, verse 6. He knew about God's nature. He knew about his mercy. And he knew that if he shared this message with the people of Nineveh, they would repent, God would forgive, and he did not want that. Jonah did not want God to show compassion to this people. Now, why is that? Why was he so angry at this nation? The prophet Hosea was also prophesying about the same time as the prophet Jonah, and three times in the prophet Hosea, chapter 9, chapter 10, and chapter 11, the prophet Hosea said this, Israel, you are living in sin. Israel, you are doing everything wrong. You are worshiping idols. You are not following after God. Therefore, I will send Assyria to you. I will send Nineveh to you, and they will be used by me to punish you for their sins. Can you imagine this? Jonah did not want the people of Nineveh to be saved because he knew that sometime in the future, this same people was going to be used to punish his own nation. You see, Jonah wanted to pick and choose who God could forgive and who God couldn't forgive. In fact, if you look at verses 2 and 3, you'll find out that the words I and my are used 9 times in those two verses. Jonah is focusing on himself. He is focusing on me, myself, and I. He is thinking about what is good for him and his people, and he is trying to determine who God is allowed to forgive and who God can't forgive. He is angry at God's compassion. And I think that begs the question of us as well. Are we sometimes angry at God's compassion? I think on the surface, most of us would say, absolutely not. I'm not angry at God's compassion. I'm so grateful that he's compassionate and gracious and merciful. And I would want everybody to come to saving knowledge. But let's dig a little bit deeper and let's make it a little more personal. Are we angry at God's compassion? Would we be okay if God forgave the person who hurt us deeply? Would we be okay if God blessed the person that stole from us? Would we be okay if God gave mercy to the person who hurt us deep within? Now, I am by no means saying that it is okay to be hurt. I am by no means saying it is justified when people wrong us or do evil against us. It is wrong, and there are people in our lives that should help and support us and love us, and they don't. They do the exact opposite and hurt us deeply, and that is absolutely wrong. But what I'm trying to get us to think is this. Does that person need the compassion of God? Does that person need the grace of God? And would we be okay if God forgave that person that deeply wronged us? A couple of years back, I was walking through Walmart. You know, they have the bargain movie bins every now and again. I was kind of looking through the bargain movie bins. And I came across a movie that I'd never heard of, but it was a war movie, and I like war movies, so I picked it up. It's a movie called To End All Wars. I don't know if anybody else has ever seen that. It's a great movie, and it tells the story of a man by the name of Ernest Gordon. Ernest Gordon was a POW. He was in a Japanese prisoner of war camp. He actually helped build the bridge over River Kwai, all right? And so he was in that area of Japan. And the story is about how at first when he went to this prisoner of war camp, the guards would beat him and the guards would hurt him, and he just survived on hate. He just felt this great hate for these people, and he just thought, I have to get out so I can hurt them. I have to survive so that I can show hate to them. But in the midst of that prison camp, after becoming sick, a fellow soldier who was a Christian began to care for him. And while caring for him, he led Ernest Gordon to Christ. And from that point on, his life was forever changed. In fact, the entire prison camp was changed. A large majority of the soldiers said, we will not defeat evil through hate. We will defeat evil through grace. And they began to pray for their persecutors. They began to pray for their guards. They began to show acts of kindness to their guards. And yes, there were times the guards still beat and hurt them, but some of the guards began to be transformed by the very same behavior. When the war camp was, prisoner of war camp was liberated, Ernest Gordon was fleeing through the jungle, and he said, I looked on my Japanese captors, and I saw them starving, and I saw them dying, and I couldn't hate them. I couldn't hate them. I wanted to show them mercy. From that point on, Ernest Gordon chose to use his life to try to reconcile people. He came back to the States and became a minister. He became chaplain at Princeton University for about 50 years, and he dedicated his life to showing people of hatred the compassion of Jesus Christ. Are we angry at God's compassion? Are we angry at those who've wronged us? Are we angry at people who look different from us or sound different from us? God can't use that person. God can't bless that person. That person's black. God can't bless that person. God can't use her. That woman is Hispanic. God can't bless these people. Those people are illegal. God can't use that. Are we angry? Or would we be willing to allow God to show compassion to people who are different from us? We all have prejudices. We all have people we don't particularly like. And those prejudices get in the way of sharing God's compassion. But we don't determine who God can forgive, no more than Jonah could determine who God could forgive. Have you ever noticed that sometimes when God is trying to teach you a lesson, he lets you go through circumstances? Wouldn't it just be easier if he just gave us a test and said, if you pass this test, you learn what I want you to do, and then you can go on with your life? But God allows us to go through circumstances. And so in verses 5 through 9, God allowed Jonah to go through an object lesson to try to reinforce this idea of the need to show compassion. So let's look at verses 5 through 9. The Bible says, Jonah had gone out and sat down at a place east of the city. There he made himself a shelter, sat in its shade, and waited to see what would happen to the city. He is still holding out hope. He is still hoping that God will change his mind and destroy this people, and he's going to sit there and wait and hope that that very thing happens. Verse 6, then the Lord God provided a leafy plant. Remember, God's sovereignty, God's control over nature is a key theme in the book of Jonah. So God is providing this plant. The Lord God provided a leafy plant and made it grow up over Jonah to give shade for his head to ease his discomfort. That word discomfort can also be translated evil. You see, God was easing his physical comfort, easing his physical discomfort. But more important than that, God was trying to correct the evil in his heart. And he was allowing Jonah to experience this object lesson for that very same thing. So look at how Jonah reacts to the plant. The rest of verse 6. It says, Jonah was very happy about the plant. But at dawn the next day, God provided a worm, which chewed the plant so that it withered. When the sun rose, God provided a scorching east wind, and the sun blazed on Jonah's head so that he grew faint, and he wanted to die and said, it would be better for me to die than to live. But God said to Jonah, is it right for you to be angry about the plant? It is, he said, and I'm so angry, I wish I were dead. Do you notice what's going on here? As long as God is showing compassion to Jonah, as long as Jonah is comfortable, as long as God is on his side and endorses his view, Jonah's happy. But as soon as the comfort is taken away, as soon as things get hard, as soon as he begins to recognize, you know what, God doesn't endorse everything I think, he gets angry, starts to pout, and wants to die. what I see happening here is this. Jonah wants to keep God for himself. Jonah wants God to bless him and people like him and people that think like him and talk like him and look like him. He wants Jonah for himself. This reminds me of the story in Luke 15 that we oftentimes call the prodigal son. In that story, Jesus tells about a father who had two sons, and we who grew up in church probably know this story. One of the sons takes his inheritance early. He runs into another country. He spends all the money on women and food and partying and doing whatever he wants. And at the end of spending all the money, he says, you know what? I've got it pretty bad. If I just go back to my father, and if I'm just a servant in his household, man, that would be better than what I'm doing right here. I need to go back to my father. He goes back to his father, and the father meets him on the way and runs to meet him and shows compassion and shows mercy. He throws a big party. My lost son has come home. But the problem is the older son doesn't like this. The older son says, Father, I've been with you this entire time. I've always followed the rules. I've always done what is right. How come I don't get a party? How come I don't get your blessing? How come I don't get this? I see a lot of similarity between this story and the story of Jonah. The older son wanted the father all for himself, and he wanted the father to give to him, to provide for him, and to think like him, and to act like him, and to forgive like him. But this story shows us that whether we are religious or irreligious, whether we have run away, whether we've stayed close, whether we are like the Father or not, we all need the Father's love. We all need compassion. None of us can determine who God can forgive and who God can't forgive. God does not exist to make me comfortable. God does not exist for my own convenience. God does not exist to endorse my view and say that I am right. God does not exist for any of that. God exists for his own glory. And part of that glory is bringing compassion to people who don't deserve it, religious or irreligious. This was a lesson that Jonah had a long, hard time learning. And we see that he's still angry and he wants to die. But in verses 10 through 11, God gets the last word. The Bible says, But the Lord said, You have been concerned about this plant, though you did not tend it or even make it grow. It sprang up overnight and died overnight. And should I not have concern for the great city of Nineveh, in which there are more than 120,000 people who cannot tell their right hand from their left, and also many animals? Back in chapter 2, verse 9, Jonah had rightly said, Salvation comes from the Lord. That's good theology. That's right belief. But he struggled to see how God could give salvation to people who were different than him. There's a scholar by the name of Desmond Alexander. You know he's smart because his last name is Alexander. Can I get amen on that? All right. Desmond Alexander said that there is a great gulf between the prophet and his God in this chapter. And sometimes in our life, there's a great gulf between God's heart and our heart. How God views people and how we view people. Can I just tell you that this week I'm writing this lesson on compassion and showing mercy, and I have had more situations where I struggled to show compassion and mercy this week than at any other time. My heart needs God's compassion. My heart needs to be changed by that compassion, because there are too many times in my own life where there is a great gulf between what I believe and what God believes. So God begins to ask him questions. Should I not be concerned? Jonah, if you can't be concerned about the people, will you at least be concerned about the animals? Will you care about something other than yourself? He asks him these very pointed questions. And do you notice that the story ends with a question? And the reason that story ends with a question is because we are meant to answer that question with the way we live. What will we do with what God has said? How will we treat others? Will we be concerned for people that have a different skin tone than us? Will we be concerned about people who have a different political persuasion than us? Will we be concerned about people in our lives who have hurt us? Will we desire to see people have God's compassion or not? Because honestly, the truth is, God forgave all of us and we were his enemies. In Romans chapter 5, verses 6 through 10, the Apostle Paul says that while we were God's enemies, he reconciled us. That's a word that means he brought us back together. That was a word that implied a very intimate relationship. He says that while we were yet sinners, God demonstrated his own love for us and that he sent Jesus to die for our sins. We were God's enemies, and Jesus Christ died for us. In Matthew chapter 5, verses 43 through 48, the Bible says, Jesus is speaking in the Sermon on the Mount, and he says, "You have heard it said, love your neighbor and hate your enemies. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. Pray for those Ninevites in your life. Pray for those you don't want to pray for. Stretch your love, because if you just love people that are like you, anybody can do that," Jesus says. What good is that? Can you love people who don't love you back? So the moral of the story is this. Since God shows compassion to his enemies, I should as well. Man, that makes for a good sermon. Man, that's hard to live. It's something every single one of us, every day of our lives, must allow the grace of Christ to work within us. Now, we don't know if Jonah ever got this lesson. We don't know if his life was really ever changed. All we can do is really learn from his mistakes and learn from our mistakes by going out and showing compassion to everyone we encounter. Would you bow your head and close your eyes? We're going to have a time to just respond to this message this morning. And I want to ask us some pretty pointed questions, and I want us to think about these things and pray about these things. Is there someone in your life who needs compassion? Someone you can pray for, someone you can pray with, someone you can meet a physical need, you can meet their physical need, someone you can forgive. Is there someone in your life who needs compassion? Would you just pray for that person right now? And that person may have hurt you so deeply that you can barely say that person's name. Can you ask the Holy Spirit to help you pray for that person right now? Confess any prejudice that is holding you back from sharing the gospel. Do you need to confess that sin now? Do that. Go to Jesus. Say, "Jesus, it may take me a long time to love people like that, but God, begin that work in me. Change my heart. Help me to love people who think different, look different, speak different." Ask God to help you. Do you recognize this morning that Christ died for you even though you were his enemy? Have you ever made that decision to follow Jesus Christ, to put your trust in what Jesus did on the cross, how he died on the cross and rose from the grave to pay the penalty none of us could pay? He didn't have to do it. He wasn't forced to do it. We didn't earn anything that deserved him doing it. He did it because he is love. He is compassionate. Have you recognized that this morning? Have you ever made that decision to follow Jesus? And if you have questions about what it means to follow Jesus, I would encourage you after this service to grab me and talk with me. I'd love to go to my office and just talk to you about that and pray with you. Make that decision to follow Jesus today. Let's spend some time in prayer right now. The band is going to play. Every head is bowed, every eye is closed. Let's just spend some time praying that God would make us more compassionate. This is a prayer I need. This is a prayer you need. We need people to see the love of Christ in us. And so let's just pray that our hearts would be changed, that we would be compassionate people. Spend some time in silent prayer, dear. Let me pray for us. Father, I just want to openly confess that there are so many times I am Jonah. I have right belief. I know about your heart. I know about your compassion. I know about your mercy. But Father, there are so many times I allow my own sinfulness, my own hard-heartedness to rule over what your word says. Father, there are times where I'm so angry at people who think different than me. There are times I'm so angry at people who have hurt me. And Father, I just pray that each and every day I wake up, that I would say, Jesus, I forgive these people. I forgive myself. And I will walk in your grace today. And Father, if I stumble in that, then help me get up from there and walk in your grace again. But Father, I just pray that each and every day my heart would be changed to be more like Christ. That the hearts of people in this church would be changed to be more like Christ. God, that you would help us to be compassionate. Help us to be compassionate to one another. Help us to be compassionate to people outside of the walls of this church. And I just pray that people would see the love of Christ in us. Thank you so much for loving us. Thank you so much, Jesus, for dying on the cross, even though we were your enemies. Even though we deserve death and hell, you have offered us eternal life. So we thank you for that. Father God, we love you very much. We thank you so much for the book of Jonah. And we ask that even though this series may be over, we just ask that we would consider the lessons we have learned. We would think about the challenges that have been presented. And God, that we would forever be more compassionate because you are compassionate. Love you. Pray this in Jesus' name, and all God's people said. All right, at this time, I want to go ahead and have our gentlemen come forward for an offering.